Let's Get Started. I'm Lorette Farris, host at Capital Academy, and on this segment, I'd like to welcome Sylvia Henderson.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here, Sylvia. Sylvia is a business consultant and idea implementation expert.
It's always easier to help other people figure things out and get things done, and not yourself.
Don't we know that, right? Again, thank you for being with us today, and thank you for being able to talk about this subject.
Thrilled.
Thank you. And the topic for today is we're going to talk about the SBA and the direction of the funding. But before we even start getting into the details of the topic, please give us a little information about you, your company, what you do, how you do.
So in about 30 seconds, let's see. So Springboard Training is a training, education, professional development company. So under that umbrella are several projects ranging from one-on-one consulting with people on, like you said, getting their ideas, getting what's in here, going through the brainstorming, the ideation, right. Strategy and action, and most importantly, implementation and accountability. So that would be the one high end of working with somebody. And then on through to group work through Idea Mind teams.
Wow.
And then helping entrepreneurs get their pitches ready, which is presentation skills, in order to pitch to investors and other ways of getting there, facilitating meetings anyway, many other ways of getting your ideas out and into action.
Right.
I've written a book about, hey, that's my idea, how to get your ideas out and implement it. And there's just many other ways, but all under the umbrella of the professional development company, Springboard Training.
That's very interesting. And of course, for me, the out of a lot that you said, what of course resonated was when you say pitch training.
That's right.
So working with entrepreneurs that are looking to develop their pitching in my world in front of investors, but I'm sure pitching relates to various things, not just to investors.
That's right. When an entrepreneur wants to present themselves or their business to get supported for something, whether that support is their, money or a new team or a board or anything.
Gotcha.
So
today, Sylvia, I want us to touch on the topic of the SBA, where it's going, what's going on with the SBA.
Okay.
And what we're doing under Capital Academy Recap is not only finding topics that make sense for the ecosystem that we play in, but we also want to bring out press and or service announcements for some of the companies in that space.
Okay.
This topic on the SBA is coming, both of those pieces is coming from the same information.
Okay.
So let me first dig into the first part being the information that those within this early stage small company ecosystem might want to know about. All right. And I'm just going to read a couple of highlights of what's going on with the SBA's budget for 2018. 5% of SBA cuts come from government grant programs, an area where the White House says the private sector should carry more of the load. That's number one. Number two, dollar amounts linked to SBA loan guarantees and to disaster assistance programs are also likely under the act.
Okay.
Number two. Number three, programs to be eliminated include prime technical assistance grants, regional innovation clusters, and growth accelerators, the latter two rolled out by the Obama administration. So I'm not even going to go into the next three until we talk a little bit about that. I shared the information with you that I got it from, and I'd love to know from you what resonated for you as you were looking at some of the same information on where SBA is going.
What really stood out for me is how the change in the budget, lessening the SBA's budget, really leaves that the small business, but even more so, because the SBA defines small business in a way that many solo or early stage companies are even micro businesses. It kind of leaves them hosed.
Let me make sure. Now, is that a technical term, hosed?
It's a little bit better than the one I was about to say. So how the very programs that they can take advantage of and that benefit them are the ones that are being threatened under the budget cut. Whereas some of it looks like, from what I've read, some of the benefit to the larger banks, aren't going to get hurt so much. Mm-hmm. And so it makes getting funding, yet again, mm-hmm. harder for that micro business who has less track record, right. and has less, what do you have when you have things behind, collateral, and has right. less collateral and a less track record, and they're riskier. They're the very ones that need that SBA lending or some right. capital.
Right.
And that's what looks like it's going to go away yep. with a lessening budget.
I will tell you that my concern on a lot of the different pieces I'm seeing is very similar to that. That when you look at a lot of the different programs, when you look at what's being slashed from the budget to begin with, in almost every area you want to turn, there are cuts happening. Now, this report also went into the fact that most of the banks that support the SBA loans aren't talking about walking away.
Right.
But it does take you to that point of understanding that SBA isn't a loan, it's a guarantee, right? And a lot of the smaller companies depend on getting the guarantee in order for the bank to agree to make mm-hmm. the loan. So when they're being cut out of that, now I'm going to be a little selfish here. What iBoss works with companies in doing is helping them to raise capital directly themselves.
Right.
And that's in areas of private equity and capital, right? But the issue is, so while we don't know what's going to happen with those regulations, right? We haven't heard anything new yet. A lot of the regulations out of the SEC have just recently come into play.
Right.
So we don't know if the new administration is going to start stepping into that space. But the point is, even though those regulations are there and a lot is happening, companies are raising capital, because of those mechanisms, it's still not designed for a lot of these same small
right.
businesses that will be impacted by the SBA diminishing its funding to
right.
those companies.
And they're almost going to need, they're going to need more what iBoss and any, they're going to need more other alternatives for raising the capital that they need.
Yeah, it's, so now I'm going to turn back and just finish the last three
okay.
items here, okay? The proposed budget also abolishes... Okay, I got to do that one more time. The proposed budget also abolishes the Minority Business Development Agency, which was run by the Commerce Department and which promotes the creation of minority-owned businesses. I don't know if I can go to five and six before we discuss that one. Small businesses are being cut and or affected, and we know that most minority businesses fit into that space. And if our audience doesn't necessarily know what the MBDA is, as this just said, it is an agency that was specifically working with minority businesses in funding. They do some venture funding. They do some equity-based funding. To me, it is really disheartening to hear that the agency is actually being abolished.
Yeah, abolished, and not just a lessening budget. And when you think about what's categorized as minority anymore, so I'm assuming the organization doesn't just work with African American, but our growing Spanish-speaking population. Don't know if Asian population is considered minority, but it's just I know that more and more the minority is becoming the majority mm-hmm. in the United States, mm-hmm. and a huge number of the micro businesses are minority, female
right.
owned,
right.
and yeah, to abolish that, right. wow.
And so the disheartening part for me is being in the private equity investor side of the fence, you see a lot of reports about minority and women-owned businesses not being able to attract the type
right.
of private investment
right.
that the counterparts are. So if in lending, which had traditionally had issues with minority businesses and women-owned businesses getting appropriate level of funding,
uh-huh.
or let me say similar levels of funding, there's now also in the private equity space that being an issue. Now, they are getting more attention, so I do want to make sure I say that. Minority and women-owned businesses are getting more attention in the private equity space. However,
okay.
they're still not getting the same
okay.
kind of dollars, right? But every time something else is cut or taken away, then it
first.
Just increases mm-hmm. the quantity of minority and women-owned businesses that can't get financed.
Yep.
So it, was there any takeaway in learning that the SBA is losing more for you?
The takeaway for me, and there was another mention, I believe, in that article about the funding, the small business assistance, some soft skills assistance or training, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, because that's near and dear to my heart,
mm-hmm.
what kind of hit me overall is the SBA budget is being hit, so more is being taken away from the micro businesses,
right.
small businesses, just when they need it the most. And so it behooves them to seek out other alternatives and to seek out the education that they need in order to take advantage of those alternatives.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll have to continue to follow that, and we'll continue to bring more information to our audience as we get more information.
Yeah. Well,
now comes the fun part of this segment of Capital Academy. We've asked entrepreneurs to send in some questions or some comments or commentary on anything they're dealing with or information they'd like to have, because
okay.
we have experience such as Sylvia Henderson on the show to work with me in trying to provide some answers to them. So I want to roll the tape
Uh-oh.
To let us hear the first question Uh-oh. That's been sent in.
Hello, iBoss. I have a question. Right now in my company, I am chief cook and bottle washer. How do I move from being everything in my company to establishing the team members that I need to move my company from a lifestyle business to the next level?
I think I used to call it chief CEO, chief everything officer.
I like that.
Oh my gosh, that's the question that every solo entrepreneur faces and asks themselves. So the short answer, because I believe we all are struggling through that in one stage or another, short answer is I would take, in fact, this is what it was advised to me of me to do, I would take some time and sit down and list all of the things that you do, just everything. And because I'm about ideation and getting things out of my head, out of your head, I would list everything you do, whether you want to put it on one's post-it notes or whiteboard or I don't care what. You want to see everything that's involved on a day-to-day, daily basis for running your business. Because you as the CEO need to be, is it on your business and not in your business, I think is the phrase. And then everything in that list that you can identify as, I don't have to do this. You want to put that in one column, and those are the areas where you need to find someone, and there are so many ways to, quote, find someone to help you with those, whether it's a virtual assistant, whether it's through the freelancing services like, it just went blank, Elance, Fiverr,
exactly.
Odesk, I mean, many of those.
Work free.
Yep.
No,
whether it's Craigslist, I don't know, whether it's Craigslist, and you can find people on that. This is a quick answer, but you just only take on the things that only you can do. And I don't mean the things that only you can do the best. Because that's the other thing. Oh, nobody can do it better than I can. Mm-mm. And this may take some serious figuring out to let go. And that's one way of ending the chief bottle washer and starting to be CEO and think like a CEO.
I do. I look at it from the standpoint of I'm a planner, right? I.e. business plans, working through mapping things out, right? I look at it from the standpoint of no different than you. You got to sit down and sort of, you got to write things out. A lot of times when you put pen to paper, you start seeing things you didn't see, you know, other times. I look at it from the standpoint of a common thing you'll hear from me as you grow to your exit. You got to figure out where are you trying to go. And when you know where you're trying to go, now you start and take person and personality out of it. You start listing what are the roles and responsibilities that are necessary to get to that place, right? Once you now understand the roles and responsibilities that are necessary to get to where you're trying to go, now you start mapping out who you need, what type of person you need to fill in those roles and responsibilities. Now you have an opportunity to look at these roles and responsibilities to determine where you fit. And who you need to start looking for that fits into these other roles. So I guess in some respect, that's building job descriptions and or things of that nature. And sometimes a small company, if there's one or two people, you feel that, but there's not enough people to do that. If you don't, you never start understanding what you really need because you keep building it off of the people, the persons, right? And you can't get out of your own way if you keep, similar to what you're saying, you keep looking at the job that has to be done by way of which one of us should do it, as opposed to who is the right type of party that should be doing it. So I hope some of those thoughts provide some answers. We know in 2 minutes we can't give you the full breath, but it's some thought processes to go by. All right. I think we have time for our next one.
Hi, iBoss. Julie Pittman here with Color and Soul Cosmetics. We make the first customized mineral cosmetics for women of color. My question is, when you are a trailblazer, well, really, the question is, how do you know the difference between being a trailblazer in something that has never been done versus getting excited and investing yourself into a business that shouldn't be done? In other words, the reason nobody has done it is probably because it's not a good idea. How do you know the difference?
We both chuckled on that one because I think we've seen and heard.
And had them. Where we think, oh, this is a great idea. Everybody's going to love it. And then there's silence on the shopping cart. Market research. And with today, there are ways to do market research without a whole lot of money. Social media. Putting something out there. And I know we worry about our idea being stolen, quote unquote.
Right.
Put a concept out or maybe a really quick question that doesn't reveal your entire mixture and formula, but says, would you, and she said color and soul, so it was women of color. Okay. So putting a question out there in social media. Are you, and finding the targeted market. Right. Would you prefer something that colors your hair with a relaxer or colors your hair with, I don't know, something else, considering, you know, I'm not too worried about my hair a whole lot. And getting the responses. And while they aren't committed shopping cart ringing responses, you're at least finding out what people might want. And then narrow that down. So it's,
I'm about to say something that I am so guilty of, in order to respond to this answer, right? In today's world, and I use this line often, we all go to Missy Google. Like, right?
Okay.
Missy Google answers everything for us, right? But market research also entails, you know, there was the times you go set up a table in a mall, right? And you canvas people and you actually get people to answer, you know, question and answer, things of that nature. So I totally agree with you.
Samples.
Research, research, research.
Samples.
Exactly.
And keep in mind that if Steve Jobs had asked, do you need a cell phone that does internet and plays games,
right,
and does, you
right
say, no, I don't need that.
Exactly.
But look what we've
exactly
got.
So,
sometimes
by you saying that, you can also over-research,
yeah,
and overthink, because some of the mm-hmm best creative ideas have come about because,
yep,
some entrepreneur got a hold of this idea and this thought, and they knew,
yeah,
it would fly. So I think that boils down to sometimes you also got to go by your gut.
Yep.
You know, do as much as you can to clean it up, but go by your gut. Let's see if we could get, yeah, in one more question.
Hello, Sylvia and Lynette. How you doing? My name is Zurian Bennett, and I am with the Z Success Team and Positive Self-Defense. My question for you ladies today is, in the present climate that we're in this 2017 going forward through to 2020, where do you see minority businesses having the biggest chance, or what could be some of the biggest difficulties for us in this time frame with the president and the Congress that we have? And I'm talking about in the sense of their interactions and dealings with minority business owners and minority entrepreneurs.
Boy, that's a timely question considering what we just talked about.
Absolutely. And I'm sorry for the audio, but I'm glad we could hear the question.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
Minority business, and I got a little distracted, mm-hmm, by the audio, but my thought is minority business is getting out to network, and not just in our own world, getting out to network, and not, okay, this is a personal thing with me, not to market myself as a minority business. Now, I know for government contracts, mm-hmm, you do want to identify
right
me.
Now.
Well, yeah, okay. In the general business arena, though, I tend to shy away from, I'm a female-owned business, mm-hmm, or minority business. And I think to really grow my business, I need to think in terms of business, not the specialized.
You know what happens for me, Sylvia, and I don't know that we'll ever get back to that place, but to some degree what you're saying, I do buy into that. We just go and do business, right? Just do business without, but when I think about the Black Wall Street, you know, before,
okay,
it all burnt down, there was a time that's what we did. We were in a community, we were collective, we had some serious businesses going on, and then, you know, things happened. So I think the climate does create some interesting challenges for us, but I don't know that the challenges are any different than what we've seen, you know, before. And I think we just have to pull up our big boy girls and
panties,
big boy
as they say, yeah,
pants, and continue to operate, be strong, do business, learn to do business with each other. As you said, learn to open our tent and do business with more. But I think we just got to get very strategic,
yep,
and good at doing good business. And we have to weather the storm.
I grew up, and I know, and I grew up with my mom and dad teaching me, you have to be better than in order to be
right
equal.
Right. And that hasn't changed. So, Sylvia, thank you so much for joining me on this segment of Capital Academy Recap. I hope that it was interesting enough that you'll be willing to come back. You'll be willing to answer my call when I call you next time in order to come back.
Gee, just twist my arm.
Okay. All right.